All Things Are Possible, Part 18. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." And Jesus also stated, "All things are possible to him that believes," in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. But Jesus also declared that we must not doubt in the heart or in our spirits in order to believe and get results. Now, we've studied this and we've read this over and over again from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26, and we zeroed in on verse 20 through 23, and we focused on that word doubt and its meaning in our study, because Jesus made it a central issue to not doubt in the heart in order for us to believe. Now, it's impossible, we said, to please God without faith. So if we want to please him, we got to learn this. If we want to function in faith that pleases him, then we must not doubt in our hearts. We saw that, and I keep repeating this because it kind of gives you an overall idea of what we've been seeing in these studies. We saw that doubt means wavering and hesitation and indecision and irresolution and unresolved questions of doubt concerning the promises of God and the provisions of the covenant. We also saw that doubt, inside the word doubt, is strife and unforgiveness. And those are things that have to be removed from the heart if we're not to doubt in the heart. And the next big heart issue that we've been looking at that needs to be corrected in order for faith to produce is pride. And we've looked at a number of scriptures already, and you need to go back and listen to what we've said. And the scripture that ties it, one of the scriptures that ties it all in, is Habakkuk 2:4. And you need to understand, Paul quotes this, "The just shall live by faith," but he doesn't quote the whole verse. So we're going to look at the whole verse. And again, at Habakkuk 2:4, it says, "Behold, the soul of him is lifted up," or is of pride, "and is not upright, but the just shall live by faith." Pride, we said, is in complete opposition to being just or righteous and living by faith. And there in Habakkuk 2 and verse 5, he goes on to talk about pride and arrogance. So faith cannot function in the environment of pride. It won't function there. We also saw yesterday in Obadiah, verses 3 and 4, actually chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we saw that pride is deception and that it's the very nature of Satan, the master deceiver. And his pride got him permanently kicked out of heaven, we saw. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride and haughtiness will always lead to dishonor and to destruction. Well, I want to give you an example from the book of Chronicles, actually 2 Chronicles, speaking about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 15 and 16. And this is an important, they're all important that we've been studying, but this is crucial to our study on pride and how to get it out of the heart, and it gives us some insight. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. "And he," being Hezekiah, "made in Jerusalem engines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and upon the battlements, wherewith to shoot arrows and great stones." Now these are catapults. "And his name spread far abroad." So he became famous. "For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." See, God was helping him and great things were happening. And his name spread abroad. He became famous. You know, God has no problem with people becoming famous. He does have a problem with people that try to become themselves famous and don't allow God to do it. See, God has no problem in his people being exalted. Did you know that? Absolutely not. God has no problem with that. He does have a problem, however, with you exalting yourself. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Well, up until this point, he was okay. God was with him. God was working with him. He was marvelously helped. He was strong. He was famous. God gave him wisdom on even how to make great advances in warfare, how to protect himself, you know, and how to protect himself against the enemies and using great catapults and different things, you know. But when he was strong, look at this next verse. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Oh, we read about your heart being lifted up when it talks about Satan. And it also says, so that he did corruptly. We also saw that about the devil before he was a devil, when he was Lucifer. Over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. So you see, he started going down the path of pride. And his heart was lifted up. And what did that move him into? He did corruptly. See, pride will always move you into corruption. And then it says, and he trespassed against God and against Jehovah his God. It moved him over into sin and unrighteousness. And now notice what he did. For he went into the temple of Jehovah to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Whoa. Now, he didn't have any right to do that. Now, notice that as long as Hezekiah recognized the source of his strength as power as coming from God, then everything was okay. Everything was good and excellent. It was marvelous. It was a blessing. But what happened? Well, pride attacked Hezekiah, and he yielded to it when he was at the height of his glory. Riches and fame and strength that he had received from God. He wouldn't have had any of it had he not received it from God. There's actually a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that says, what do you have that you did not receive from God? Everything that we got, we had to receive from him. He's the source. Hallelujah. All gifts, all graces, all mercies come from the Father, and we had to receive them. Amen. Well, at the height of his glory, Hezekiah got to thinking that it was all him, and he left God out of the equation. So he started doing his own thing his own way. And what did that do? Well, it led him to act corruptly and to transgress the commandments and to do things in violation to God's word. He even assumed the role of a priestly ministry that he was not called to function in. And you go on and read it, verses 17 through 21, and you'll see that when the priest came to bring him correction and to tell him he couldn't do it, he got extremely angry. Because pride gets angry when it's corrected, when it's doing something wrong. He yielded to pride, and you go on and read, and it brought sickness and disease. It brought leprosy to him, and he had to live like a hermit the rest of his days until he died because of it. Oh, my. Are there any lessons that we can learn from this? You better know it. Oh, yeah. I mean, pride is deadly, and I'm just going to tell you, so many have usurped a place in ministry. Because, and you see it today, they just start calling themselves apostles or bishop or prophets or pastors. And even when, now, you know, there's some that truly are called into these ministries and offices, but then there's some that have just heaped themselves upon themselves these titles and call themselves this because they're thinking about getting more recognition or more authority or more respect Let me tell you, that's pride beyond measure. It is arrogance to think that you can be a prophet, for example, when God did not set you in the church as a prophet. He didn't call everybody to be a prophet. He didn't call everybody to be an apostle. He didn't call everybody to be a pastor. He didn't call you to be called bishop. He didn't, you know, not necessarily, unless he called you and anointed you and set you apart and gave you that gift, then you have no business calling yourself with that. Now, this is something that I've seen people do over and over again, and it has gotten them into serious trouble, just like it got Hezekiah into serious trouble. But now, let me just bring it home for you, because if you're not called into the ministry and you've never assumed any role in ministry that you weren't called to, I got news for you. This also applies to you, because it's arrogance, listen, to move to a city just because you got offered a job or because you want to start out fresh. And you didn't even acknowledge God. You didn't get any information from him, any direction from him. You didn't find out what his will was in the matter. Then you're over into arrogance and pride. Now, do I have any scripture for that? You better believe I do. Look at this in James chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 and read through verse 17. Now, this is the Bible in basic English that I'm going to be reading from. Look what it says. How foolish it is to say, today or tomorrow we will go into this town and be there for a year and do business there and get wealth, when you're not certain what will take place tomorrow. What is your life? It is a mist which is seen for a little time and then it is gone. But the right thing to say would be, if it's the Lord's pleasure, and if we're still living, we will do this and that. And now you go on glorying in your pride. And all such glorying, boasting, is evil. The man who has knowledge of how to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Oh, wow. You better find out where God wants you to live, and you better find out where God wants you to thrive. Because you never will do either unless you find out what is his will in the matter. Now the word pride, oh boy, here we go. Woo, Jesus. The word pride in verse 16 is from a Greek word. Are you ready? That means, it's translated in some boastful, but listen what it means. It means ostentatious, pretentious, or braggadocio. Now, those are pretty big words, so I'm going to break them down for you. These three words have many synonyms that will really drive home what it means by pride. Oh, Lord. Now, don't say, yeah, brother doodad needs this information, or brother so-and-so, or sister such and such needs this. I'm going to send her the link to this podcast. No, bless God. Yeah, you can do that, but that's not the right purpose. This is so that we judge ourselves, so that I judge myself. You judge yourself in this, and we remove any vestige, any piece of this out of our heart so that we can function in a strong and powerful faith. So again, the Greek word means ostentatious, pretentious, and braggadocio. And these three words have many synonyms. And here we go. They mean being showy. Oh, being brazen. Unashamed in wrongdoing. And I might add, there's a lot of that on TV. People aren't ashamed anymore of their sins. They're not ashamed of their sins, and they just flaunt them. They flaunt homosexuality and lesbianism, and they flaunt cohabitation They flaunt illicit sex and adultery, and they flaunt theft and lying and murder. They flaunt on that. That's all pride. Here's another definition. Flamboyant. Oh, my. Gaudy. Lurid. Grandiose. Pompous. Snobbish. Conceited. Vain. Here's an interesting one. Thinking you are so high and mighty, stuck up, and self-important. Oh, boy. Now, we'll repeat that on some of the other broadcasts, but go read our daily instruction for this day, and you'll see that we wrote them out there for you, so you can go back and even study some of these words yourself and find out, because that stuff's got to go, folks. We can't have that in the church. Not if we're going to have a faith that's going to overcome the world. Not if we're going to have victory in our faith and have results, powerful results in our faith. That stuff's got to go. Now, I'm going to give you a warning. You need to watch out with all that self-esteem and self-image seminars and books that speak from a heathen or from a humanistic point of view and leave God out. Your self-worth, your self-esteem and self-image must be in Christ Jesus and in God alone. God is not against you being exalted, as I told you, as long as you don't exalt yourself. Self-exaltation's what he's against. Now, one last part here. The definition of these words includes the following as well. Being brassy, vulgar, rude, foul, discourteous, impolite, ill-mannered and tasteless. Oh boy. A bragger. One full of haughtiness, pride, and attention seeker. And a show-off. Wow. Well, all of these definitions explain a whole lot about pride's attitudes and how it carries itself. And it'll help you identify any pride in yourself so that you can resist it and cast it out. God resists all these because they are pride, and so we should resist them because the Bible says that we're to be imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Again, for faith to function powerfully, pride has got to go. Amen. I know this brings a lot of correction, and it's not all so nice to think about, but we really need to pay attention here if we want to have a faith that works. Well, glory to God. Be blessed. We'll come back tomorrow with some more.